God's grace, his mercy, and his peace be with you tonight from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On Monday, Thursday evening, what do we remember? We remember Jesus' last night with the disciples before he was betrayed. We remember his betrayal. We remember his giving of the great commandment to love one another, even as he's loved us. We also remember the Lord's Supper, when Jesus commanded and began that for us. And so tonight I'd like to especially talk with you about the Lord's Supper. Why did Jesus give us the Lord's Supper? And what's the benefit of it? Well, it's actually recorded for us in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's not actually specifically in John's Gospel. I think we'll look tonight, especially to start out here, in Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 to 29. Let's read it. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I shall not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And the other Gospels are basically say the same. And so what can we learn about the sacrament, and what's the benefit to us? Well, the first thing we can learn here is that this is a very, very important thing that Jesus has done for us. Number one reason for that, he commanded it. You know, if you're in the army, anybody been in the army? You might have a sergeant who gives you commands because he likes to put you in your place and show you that he is the boss and you're not. Pick up that rock, put it down. Pick up the rock, put it down. You know? Trivial, insignificant, meaningless jobs in order to prove that he's number one and you're not. God is not like that. When he gives us a command in the scripture, he always gives it for our good, and his aim is to bless us, to strengthen us in the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And so it's important not only because Jesus commanded it, take, eat, this is my body, and drink of it, all of you, those are commands, but also we see that this is the last thing Jesus did before he was betrayed. If you were to look in the rest of this chapter of Matthew chapter 26, it's just 16 verses later when Jesus is arrested and taken away to suffering and death. And Jesus knew, of course, that was going to happen. So this is a very, very important thing he's giving us because it's the last thing he commanded before he suffered and died for our salvation. Thirdly, we see it's important because the church, we see, practiced this for, well, all the way until today, since that command. We read in Acts chapter 2, "And he testified, Peter did, with many other words, and encouraged, exhorted them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized. There were added that day 3,000 souls, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers," which I think is speaking of the Lord's Supper. And of course, we see in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the church was certainly partaking of the Lord's Supper, but not doing it as they were supposed to. Some were getting drunk, some were going away hungry. Paul had to chastise them for it. So it is important because it's something that the apostles said is something that should be practiced all the way until that day when Jesus comes. And isn't that amazing that what we're going to do here tonight in just a few moments has a string or a golden chain stretching all the way back to Jesus' institution. It's been practiced ever since, and we're going to partake of that very thing tonight without interruption from Jesus all the way to us through history by the saints. And lastly, this is important, we know, because Jesus instituted it when? On what night? Night of his betrayal, yes, but the night of Passover, the Passover meal, right? We read in Luke 22, Jesus says, at the beginning of that meal, of the Lord's Supper, "I have earnestly desired to eat this," say it, "Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I'll not eat it again until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God." So this is the Passover meal, very special for the Jews. It happened but once a year. And it was a meal to be taken in remembrance of their salvation that God worked for them in Egypt. Let's read just for a moment about what that meal was like. In Exodus 12, God told Moses to tell the people, "Tell all the congregation of Israel that they shall take every man a lamb, according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. Your lamb shall be a male, without a blemish, a male, a year old. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, and when all the assembly of Israel shall kill their lambs in the evening, they shall take some of the blood, put it on the two doorposts and lintel of the houses in which they eat them. You shall eat it with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste, for it's the Lord's Passover. Watch this, for I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I'll execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you upon your houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague shall fall upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." And then God commanded that there be a perpetual meal every year. Of course, they didn't always do that. But to remember that salvation. And this is the Passover meal that we're going to celebrate here tonight, actually, of the new covenant, of which the old meal was but a shadow, a type. It was a preview of the coming attraction of the reality that we'd be experiencing here in Jesus. And what were they supposed to do? They were to have it every year in remembrance of God's great salvation, which he worked for them, right? And what are we to remember? We are taking this new Passover meal of the new covenant in remembrance. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me. Remember how I saved you, not out of Egypt, but out of the old world of sin. Not out of slavery to Pharaoh, but of slavery and bondage to sin and death and to Satan. And I saved you with a mighty outstretched arm and my son Jesus Christ." And so when we take of the Lord's Supper, that's one of the special blessings of it. We're doing this in remembrance of that great salvation. For this is the new, better, and true Passover meal given for us to eat and to drink. So, question we need to ask here in terms of how powerful is this meal is, what are we partaking of here? Bread and wine? Yes. Body and blood of the Lord? Yes. Why do we say that? Well, let's take a look here. Jesus says, "Now as they're eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and he said, 'Drink it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant.'" And so as a Lutheran and as a Christian, how do we interpret that? We take it, we eat it, for this is his blood. This is his body and this is his blood of the new covenant. We don't interpret it. We just read it at face value. We take Jesus' words at what they say. Now, I've been talking, actually, at times over the years with people who don't believe that, and they say, "That's impossible. How could Jesus give us his body and blood supernaturally present in this meal if his body and blood are still in his own body, and he's sitting right there? It's got to be symbolic." To which I say, it is symbolic, I believe, but also I believe there's something supernatural here, namely his true body and blood, because I look at this passage, I don't see anything in it that is telling me in the text that it is to be taken figuratively. But as we say, we take it literally unless the text says otherwise. And the only reason not to accept that would be reason, right? Doesn't make sense. But the thing that really clinched it for me in believing this was really not that passage, although it should be, but really 1 Corinthians 10. When I read here in verse 16, Paul says this: "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a communion in the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a communion in the body of Christ?" That word for communion is the word koinonia, which means participation, fellowship, partnership, communion. With what? What are we communing with when we partake of the Lord's Supper? It's a communion with the body of Christ, he says. It's a communion with the blood of Christ. So how do we believe that as Lutherans? It's a communion with the body of Christ. It's a communion with the blood of Christ. Can I explain that in any great detail as to how God does that? No, I don't know. I'll just take Jesus' words at face value here and Paul's words at face value. If you look actually at the next couple of verses here in 1 Corinthians 10, he says, consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices partners in the altar? What do I imply then, that food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No. I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God. I don't want you to be partners with demons. You can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You can't partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Let me ask you a question. You answer. What were those pagans eating and drinking in the sacrifices? The body and blood of animals, which they'd sacrificed to demons. They weren't partaking of symbols, right? Which backs up that other verse. It's the communion with the body and blood of Christ, supernaturally, spiritually present with the bread and the wine, though I can't explain how, but simply accepting this, that God doesn't lie, his word is sure. And when my reason doesn't quite understand it, I just say, shh, quiet reason, accept Christ's words by faith. And so what we're receiving here is the body and the blood of the Lord spiritually present along with the elements of bread and wine. And how else do I know that? By looking at the next chapter. Paul actually records the words of institution here for the Corinthian church who were getting drunk. By the way, do you get drunk on grape juice? I ain't never seen it. But nevertheless, that's why we have wine here. But they were, you know, don't be getting drunk. You're not going to be getting drunk in this little cup we give you here. But they were doing it. And he chastises them. He says, remember this, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is given for you, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, the cup after supper. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Jumping down, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of Christ. So let me ask you a question. You got to participate here tonight. If you take of it in an unworthy way, without faith, without love for one another, etc., what are you profaning? According to Paul, the body and the blood of Christ, not symbols. He says you're profaning the body and blood of Christ. And that's another reason that really clinched it for me, that this meal is a very powerful meal where we're partaking of bread and wine, which are symbolic of the body and blood, but they're also spiritually present, Christ's body and blood here for us Christians to eat and drink. And if you want to understand how powerful that is, just ask Belshazzar of Daniel chapter 5 in the days of the Old Testament. Remember that? He's the king after Nebuchadnezzar, his father. His father, remember, had taken over Jerusalem and taken the vessels of gold and silver away from Jerusalem and brought them off to Babylon. Well, one night they're having a drunken orgy party, and they command, remember those vessels from the house of the Lord in Jerusalem that we stole and we took to our country? Bring them out. Let's eat and drink out of those. So the king and all his wives and all his concubines and all his girls and his men, all drunk, they decided to eat and drink from them. What happens when you take God's holy things and take them in an irreverent way? All of a sudden, there appears before them a hand, and it begins to write upon the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, and Perez. And at that moment, the king's color changed, and it says his knees began knocking together. Tell me who can tell me the interpretation to this. And no one could. They said, wait, there's a guy, Daniel, in your father's kingdom. He used to be able to do things like this, interpret. He came in, and Daniel says, this is the interpretation of the matter. Mene, God has numbered your days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, if you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. And that very night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom. Let me ask you. Those were just the vessels used in the worship of the old temple, which was just a shadow of Christ. And they were taking them in a reverent way, just using these holy vessels that way. Did God take that lightly? I don't think so. As they say, the handwriting is in the wall, right? And in the same way, that helps us to see that this is not just an ordinary meal, but it's a powerful meal. And if it's able to have such judgment that the Corinthians, some were getting weak and ill, and some were even dying from misusing it, just think of how powerful it is for us when we are using it as the Lord instituted it for us. Because what does God do? When he gives us a command to do something, he's not just showing his power to say, do this because I'm the king. He does it because he loves you. He does it for your good. He does it to strengthen you and aid you in your salvation, that you will not fail or falter all the way through the wilderness of this world, but will attain all the way to the end, to the promised land of heaven, just like the people of Israel in the Old Testament partook of manna and water from the rock. So we partake of the manna from above, Jesus, and the blood, who is Jesus Christ, the rock, in the wilderness, that we may attain to heaven. And we partake it with faith and with love for one another. So let me ask you the question now. What should we do with the bread and wine tonight? Thank you. Does it get any simpler than that? Eat, he says, command. Drink, he says, command. He doesn't say place it in a monstrance, which is how it's done in the Roman Catholic Church, where you place it in something to sit there and adore through it and worship through it, or have a perpetual adoration as the popes have commanded. It's not to put in a cup that's covered, a ciborium, where it's covered and you kind of worship and pray through it. You don't parade it through the streets as in Corpus Christi's festivals. You eat it and you drink it. That's what God, Jesus, wants us to do with it. Take it in and it be powerful in you in that way. What's the benefit? Well, number one, it puts you in remembrance of Jesus, because he says, do this in remembrance of me. We remember his great salvation. We're saved not out of Egypt, friends. We're saved out of this world, out of sin, out of death. We have a better baptism than passing through the Red Sea. And we are through a wilderness now to be sustained by the bread and wine from heaven. We proclaim his death until he comes again, Paul says. As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. What's that mean? When we're partaking of the table here tonight, we're going to be remembering what Jesus did for us, our great salvation, and we get to be looking forward to heaven, to that day when we get to drink it with him, new in his kingdom. We're proclaiming his death, his salvation, until that day he comes again. Thirdly, it's a sign of the new covenant. Jesus says, it says, in the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. What's a covenant? Yeah, a solemn promise agreement between two or more parties. In this case, between God and us. And this was prophesied. Remember in the days of Jeremiah? Jeremiah 31, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the old covenant that I made with their fathers and they broke when I brought them out of Egypt, but this is the covenant. Now he's going to describe it to us. Let's listen, because this is the new covenant. I'll put my law within them. I'll write it upon their hearts. He'll put his word on us, in us, that we live it and walk it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Can you partake of that when you're partaking of the Lord's Supper? Know that you're being sealed and strengthened, or let's say strengthened in that covenant, that God is your God, that you're his, and I am his, and he is mine, and my beloved. Remember that from Song of Solomon? And no longer shall each teach his neighbor and his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. That you know God, that he knows you through Jesus Christ. He knows your name. Does he know your name, Art? Do you know your name, Jenna? Know my name, Greg? Know each and every one of you? He knows each of you by name when you come up here. Isn't that beautiful? And you know his name? And you love it? And he says, for I'll forgive their iniquity, I'll remember their sin no more. Praise be to God. I sin, at least in my thoughts, every day. At least I'm tempted to it, and I feel horrible for it, right? You guys feel that? You know what you get when you come up here? I'm sealing you in that covenant again. I'm strengthening you in that covenant again. I'm embracing you in a new covenant in my blood of grace, of forgiveness of sins, so that you don't doubt that I love you and that you stand before me righteous through Christ's blood and your faith in him. Isn't that beautiful? Husbands and wives out there, you were married once long ago, right? When you were married to your wife, or your wife to your husband, did you ever tell your spouse you love him on that day? I hope you did. I love you. I love you too. Now let's say you're married for 40, 50 years, and that was the last time you said you loved them. What would your marriage covenant be like? It'd be terrible, right? What you want to do as a husband and wife is continually strengthen that covenant that you have, that agreement. I love you. Yes, I love you too. I forgive you. Thank you. I forgive you too. And every day you're supposed to be growing stronger. Well, when God gives us this Lord's Supper, as the husband of the church with his bride, it's as if he's saying, I love you. We are in that covenant. I'm strengthening you in that bond that I have, where I'll be your God, you'll be my people, and you may know you are forgiven by me. Go forth with joy. Isn't that beautiful that God loves us so? And it's, as we said, a spiritual, supernatural food. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, I want you to know, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, all passed through the sea, you know, the Red Sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same supernatural food, or spiritual, and all drank the same supernatural drink, for they drank from the supernatural rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. That was the manna from above and the water from the rock, Paul says, was spiritual, pneumatikos in the Greek, spiritual food and drink. And that was just the preview of the coming attraction. What does that mean for you? This is spiritual, pneumatikos, supernatural, blessed food for you to eat and to drink. And what do we read here in John chapter 6, which doesn't really specifically talk of the Lord's Supper, but Jesus does say it, and the imagery is too hard to deny. He says, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness. They died. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. Truly I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Now that's not specifically speaking of the Lord's Supper, but guess when he said that? Read the beginning of John 6, at the Passover time of the year. So he's taking that imagery, he's applying it to himself, and do you know that Jesus is the living bread? He is the living blood. Remember, the life is in the blood. And he says, take me into you. Have faith in me that I died on the cross for you and was raised again from the dead on the third day, and you will live. And I will raise you up at the last day. I will be your God, and you'll know me forever, and I'll love you. That's beautiful. And this is what we're getting strengthened in here tonight. And finally, this Lord's Supper is a oneness that we have with each other. For it says, because there's one bread, we who are many are one body. For we all partake of the one bread. And that's why when we come here, we want to come here forgiving each other, in love for one another, and in unity in the faith that we are confessing. Because when we come to this rail, it is a celebration of our oneness, where God is making over that image of Christ into us, where we'll be made perfect in his image one day, and all of us will be one in him, and he in us, and we in God, and we in each other, and everybody united and bound together in love, which binds all things together in perfect harmony. What a beautiful thing that God has given for us. And then he says, I tell you, I shall not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my kingdom. When we partake of this table tonight, we are partaking of it with our Lord until that day when we will see him face to face. And our eyes shall behold him and not another. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with beholding thy form. The Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. And we will drink this cup, or his cup, that is, in the marriage feast of the Lamb, which will last forever and ever and ever in a continual banquet of joy and thanksgiving and praise in his kingdom. And that's the foretaste that we get to partake of tonight. Praise be to God. Amen.